Join with me and let's sing it to Him. He lifted out of the deep miry clay. He settled my feet on straight, narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place, and He floods my soul each day with His grace. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He settled my feet on a straight, narrow way. Oh, He lifted me up to a heavenly place, and He floods my soul each day. You know it. Now let's sing it together. Lifted me out of the deep miry clay. Oh, He settled my feet on the straight, narrow way. Oh, He lifted me up to a heavenly place. Oh, yes, and He floods my soul each day with His grace. Come on, sing. He lifted me out of a deep miry clay. Oh, He settled my feet on a straight, narrow way. Oh, He lifted me up to a heavenly place. Oh, yes, and He floods my soul. How about just the men this time? All the men sing, He lifted me up. Sing it, men. A deep miry clay. Oh, sing it, young men. Sing it, daddies. Oh, straight, narrow way. Oh, He lifted me up to a heavenly place, and He floods my soul. All right, just the ladies. Sing it, ladies. Oh, yes, He did. That's what our God did for us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, think about it. Up to. Everybody together one more time, lifted me out of a deep miry clay. He settled my feet on floods my soul. Oh, let's give him the praise together. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, sweet God. Thank you, sweet God. Thank you, sweet God. Thank you, sweet God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. I'm preaching to you tonight about the depths of Satan. The God that we serve is a God that, in His Word, He doesn't waste words with superlatives. When you read that somebody was a great man or a great woman in the Scripture, just mark it down, they really were great. When the Bible describes something as being the depths of Satan, it's trying to communicate unto us that that is as low as you can possibly go. In all of the reign of the kingdom of the adversary, it describes the depths of Satan. Now, I want to challenge your mind for just a little moment here today, and I want to ask you, if someone asked you the question, what is the depths of Satan? What is the lowest of the lows that a person could get involved in a life of sin and degradation? Amen. What would your answer be? What would you, before I give to you the understanding of what the Scripture says, what would you think would be the depths of Satan? Undoubtedly, there are people in this building that would say, Pastor, there is no question in mind. The depths of Satan would be pedophiles. And I would certainly have to agree with you that somebody that would go to the level of fulfilling their sexual gratifications with a child or a child molestation or that type of thing that goes on so often in our society, I'd have to agree that that certainly is low, 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 way on down. Others of you would say, well, it's occult members, those that are a part of the Church of Satan, those that mess around with witchcraft and are meeting together even on Sunday evenings in their covens that are there of witchcraft and practicing the various things of the occult that is there. Then someone else would say, well, Pastor, It would have to be not just those that are dabbling with those things, but somebody that is fully demon-possessed. I mean, someone that is gone all the way to where now actually the devil himself, through spirits of demonic power, is coming in, and they have possessed them and actually control them. And if you've ever been around someone that shows the outward displays of when someone is demon possessed, it is a very frightening thing to look at and to think about that person is down pretty deep in the depths of Satan and all of what the devil has got to offer. But as we always learn with the Scripture, and it's a principle that all of us need to be reminded of again and again, if you want to understand what one Scripture is talking about, you've got to read the context of the Scripture. In other words, you've got to read sometimes the verses before that that give to you the framework of understanding Other times it's the verses after that. Sometimes it's both before and after. When we want an understanding tonight of what does God call the depths of Satan, we want to understand that. And so we began reading, not at verse number 24, like I intentionally read tonight, but we began reading at verse number 20, where he has given this message to the church at Thyatira, the ones that he talks about, amen, what has happened to them, and many of them have gone into the depths of Satan, but others have been spared from that. And he talks about, listen to verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which is called a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things offered to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And then he says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many have as have not this doctrine, that doctrine that was just spoken about that is there, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they that are a part of that Jezebel spirit that they speak about that is there. He talks and explains that the depths of the depths of Satan are given a common thread in these verses. Notice, amen, it's seduction, and then it's fornication, and then it's fornication again, and then the fourth place that we pick it up, it's now adultery. A common thread in all of these scriptures. When God talks about the depths of Satan, he is not talking about someone that is demon-possessed. He is not talking about someone that is playing with the Ouija board. He is not talking about tarot cards or the horoscope or all of the other things that have to do with the occult. It is very plain and simple that when God said, if you want to know the depths of Satan, where the devil drags people to get them to where rarely can they recover, when he gets them down to that depth in their life, it is simply seduction and fornication and adultery. And when he gets them into those depths, he's got them where rarely, rarely can somebody ever get back out. Now bear with me tonight. I'm going to be very plain. Amen. Very descriptive at one point. And I'm not simply doing it to show that it can be done. But I have a burden upon my heart. Amen. Many, many, many days after Brother Steve Kelly was here preaching with us, preaching for us, and many of you remember the service where he talked about feeling a spirit of adultery in Victory Tabernacle. Many, many, many weeks as a matter of fact, after that. He called me up. He spoke on the phone and said, I can't get it off my mind. I believe God wants me to talk to you some more. And he talked to me some more, amen, about individuals in our church, amen, affected by that spirit of immorality. Now, whether you are one of those people that he talked to me about or not is completely immaterial. Because what's important in the eyes of the Lord here tonight is that every saint of God in this church gets a crystal clear understanding that immorality is the depths of Satan. There is absolutely nothing that is lower in the kingdom of hell than getting a child of God seduced into immorality. He knows and he understands what all of that is about. And God has to help us as a people to get an understanding. Let's start with seduction. And I want to talk to you a little while about it here. There are two entirely different approaches that are used when it comes to the area of seduction. Somebody wrote a little book about, amen, men being from Mars and women from Venus or vice versa, from two totally different planets that they come from, and you don't have to live very long to figure out that male and female are very, very different creatures made by the same God. And so there are totally different approaches when it comes to seduction. When it is a male that is trying to seduce a female, he normally does it through the vanity of what she hears. He doesn't show up one day with a muscle shirt on and say, baby doll, look at this rippling Arnold. Don't you like what you see? If he does, he's got a box of rocks in his head. If he thinks that that's going to get a woman seduced. Because the avenues of approach or a male seducing a woman is through the vanity in her heart and what she hears. She don't want a man that's talking about himself. She wants a man that's talking about her. She's interested in hearing a man that is saying things in her ear, or at least in her presence, a man that makes her feel like that she is the most important person in the whole world, and that she really is something special, and she really is drop-dead gorgeous, and amen, no matter what the mirror says, she wants amen, a man that is telling her the things that she wants to hear, and describing all of that, and it is through the vanity of what a woman hears that seduction normally comes to her life. Proverbs chapter 30 tells us a little bit about the approach. Amen. In verse number 19 of that scripture, he talks about four different things, amen, that are too wonderful for me to know. He said, it's the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, and the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and number four, the way of a man with a maid. The way a man makes the moves with a maid. He said those four things are quite a study to watch. The way an eagle does in the air, the way a serpent does on a rock, the way a ship is in the sea, and the way a man puts the move on a maid. You know what all four of those things have in common? They all leave no visible trail. No visible trail whatsoever. No way that you can track it. No way that you can follow it. No way that anybody's going to catch him in the act. No way, because the way that a man seduces a woman is so sly and so slick, amen, and so smooth that there is no visible trail that is there whatsoever. He just says the right thing to her that appeals to the vanity of what she hears on the inside. And he knows he's having an effect on her, and nobody else is able to see it and understand what he is trying to do. Amen. Let me tell you something, at least around Victory Tabernacle. Amen. If you see a young man, a middle-aged man, or an old man, you hear me? Amen. If you see them putting the move on a female that they don't have the blessing of her daddy or the blessing of her pastor, amen, you got my permission to backhand him all the way into the wall. Yeah, you sure do. Amen. If he's got that spirit about him that said, I'm going to put the move on and nobody's going to know what I'm doing. Nobody's going to notice how I'm complimenting that woman, how she looks and what her dress is and what a pretty hairdo that she's got on and what the most wonderful person that there ever was. Hey, we don't need that Jezebel spirit around here. We don't want that Jezebel spirit around here. We don't want any part of a man seducing a woman around Victory Tabernacle. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe in courtship. We believe it. We do it God's way around here. And God's way is not through seduction. And there are men that try emotional seduction of a woman. No, 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 no. I'm not going to talk about her body. I'm going to talk about all her characteristics and all of her traits. That's a Jezebel spirit that would try to emotionally seduce a woman. Now, the way that a female seduces a male is entirely different. She doesn't do it through the vanity of what he hears. She does it through the vanity of what he sees. Oh, yes, she does. Amen. You better believe she does. She knows the vanity in the heart of the male species. Amen. It says, boy, amen, they are visually oriented creatures. Amen. It's what they see that affects them, and how they see it that is there. Proverbs 7:10 talks about the attire of a harlot. And that's a hard scripture for us to understand, because we're not living in Israel in the Old Testament. And when we think of the attire of a harlot, amen, we think of short shorts, plunging neckline, or a mini skirt, and stiletto heels walking down the street. But in Israel, in the Old Testament, no woman was ever allowed to appear in public that was not completely covered. You understand that? I went to Israel about 10 years ago, many thousands of years later, and you ought to see how the schoolgirls still have to dress in Israel. Amen. To go to school, we watch them as classes on field trips and everywhere. And the girls in school in Israel still today, thousands of years later, have to dress every bit as modest as the teenage girls at Victory Tabernacle have to dress. Amen. When the Bible talks about the attire of a harlot in Israel, she wasn't half naked at all. She could not have been allowed in public, amen, showing any of her skin. She couldn't have been allowed there. So what was the attire of a harlot in the Bible? Amen. All of the translations say, amen, though she was fully covered, she dressed seductively. Whoa, it's possible to be fully covered and still dress seductively. Maybe I need to say this again. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you wish I had spent 20 days in Italy, huh? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's possible to be fully, completely dressed, because every harlot in Israel in the Old Testament had to wear sleeves as long as your sleeves and necklines as high as your necklines and dress lengths at least as long as your dress lengths. But it was still possible to have the attire of a harlot on. Amen. Hallelujah. And that was simply, amen. And you need to understand this tonight, because it is the depths of Satan, whether it's male or female, amen. When we use sex appeal, we are involved in the seduction part that is the depths of Satan. The depths of Satan. Sex appeal for a harlot in the Bible, in the land of Israel, was to be fully covered, but accent your best assets. Mm-hmm. If it's legs that are your best asset, make sure, amen, that you accentuate those. If it's a thin waistline that's your best asset, make sure and accentuate that. If it's your curves that's your best asset, go ahead and accentuate your curves, and you are wearing the attire of a harlot. You are wearing the attire of a harlot when you use the body that God gave you, amen, to be the sex appeal that would draw the attention, amen, unto your body, even though it is fully covered, amen. Make sure you get form-fitting, tight, figure-flattering clothes, and you've got the whole wardrobe of the attire of a harlot. You've got exactly, amen, though you are fully covered, you've got exactly what a harlot had in Israel in the Old Testament, because you desire to use your sex. a way of drawing attention unto you. Oh, it's getting quiet here. Let me tell you, single young men, something you don't know. And that is, a single woman who likes looking seductive is not doing it for just the eyes of one man. She loves the eyes of many men looking at her. Oh, hallelujah. And a wedding isn't going to change that. Should I say it again? A wedding is not going to change that. She's still going to love the eyes of many men looking at her if she dresses seductively. She's not going to one day say, whoops, that's it, that's all. I caught my man. Now all that matters is that I look seductive in private in front of him. No, my friend, when they get in the depths of Satan, our society laughs about it, makes it look like there's nothing to it. Wants to dress up little 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds and the tweenies all get dressed with the latest sex appeal that is there. And everybody just laughs and says, oh, it's so cute. It ain't one bit cute that little 9-year-old is already being drugged into the depths of Satan. She's already been taken all the way down. And it's going to be second nature for all of her life. Amen. She's going to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until she's finally destroyed. Oh, hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you're a guest in Victory Tabernacle, it's not like this every Sunday night. And I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't been trained according to God's laws, please don't think that I'm here to embarrass you tonight, that I'm here to humiliate you. If there's anything I say tonight, amen, that makes you feel uncomfortable, amen, I'm not aiming at you. If you've never been taught how to dress modestly, if you didn't have the blessing of having a mom and a dad to help teach you and train, and all you've ever known is the things of this world, please accept it from a sincere heart of a pastor. Amen. That there is a better way. There is a better way to make sure that when you get married, you only have eyes for your husband and he only has eyes for you. And to make sure that you have a pure and a holy and a godly relationship. Amen. Whether you want to go to church or not, amen, you want a husband that'll be true to you. You want a wife that'll be true to you. Amen. You want them to live by God's principle. Amen. That marriage is for life. Amen. It's for good. It's for keeps. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The depths of Satan. Look at the way Jezebel did it. The Bible tells us of Jezebel. And you know, you can read it, 2 Kings 9:30. When Jezebel wanted to seduce, it wasn't a leg show. Did you hear me? It wasn't a plunging neckline. As a matter of fact, when you read about how Jezebel, amen, tried to seduce Jehu when he came, the Bible said she painted her face. Read it. It's in there. She painted her face and she dolled up her hairdo in as seductive of a way that she could. And she hung that head out the window and said, Jehu, Jehu. Oh, hallelujah. sex appeal doesn't start with how much leg you show. Do you hear me? It doesn't start with how much flesh you reveal. It starts with whether, in the words of the Scripture, your face is shamefacedness, plain-facedness. When you take and you paint your face according to the Scripture, you are doing just what Jezebel did to seduce a man. You're doing that. I've seen photos of the old hags in the picture when they finally get busted in the newspaper that ran a brothel. Most of the time it's a gal whose figure has long left her. But you know she's the madam of the brothel because she's got cake upon cake upon cake of makeup and a wildly overdone hairdo. It's up there. When her assets skip town. She suddenly was trying to still use the old Jezebel spirit and do it through the painting of the face and the seductiveness of the hair. Can I tell you, young ladies, your hair was given to you by God as your glory, not for sex appeal, not ever for sex appeal. Amen. At this church, amen, we teach against getting permanence in our hair. We do that. We teach against that. Why? You say, does everybody have a Jezebel spirit that does that? I'm not saying that, but never should your hair be ever used for sex appeal. Never, ever, ever. Amen. Never should paint be put on your face that would be the allurement and the attraction that is there of trying to allure a man that is there in your life. Amen. Oh, yeah. You can try sex appeal, amen, through doing it Jezebel's way. You can try it through all kinds of different ways of seduction that is there. Amen. But we've got to come to the realization, amen, that the enemy wants to get the people of God. It was a church at Thyatira that God spoke to the pastor of that church. And he said, Pastor, there are those in this church, amen, that have been involved in the depths of Satan. They have allowed the spirit of Jezebel to get on them and try males trying to seduce females and females trying to seduce males. And he said, you've got to understand that's as low as you can go, amen, with Satan. It's when your body that was made to be the temple of God becomes a sex object, becomes something that you're using to try to turn one another on. Amen. That is the depths of Satan. The depths of Satan. It's like the boy playing out in the waters at the beach and has no clue of when that rip current comes and sucks him out to the deep water. Let me tell you, that's what you're playing with, my brother, when you mess with pornography. You think you're a good swimmer, and you think you can swim to shore, and you think you can make it out, but you keep playing around in them deep waters, and one day you'll never make it back to shore. You'll never make it back to shore, because it's the depths. I was with a pastor, and he pastored over 20 years at church. I said, Brother, I've been thinking on these scriptures. And I said, it occurred to me that
25 years of pastoring, there's not one young lady or young man that I have ever pastored that while they were in church, while they were coming to church, that they gave themselves to that spirit of seduction and fornication and adultery that ever survived. Ever. Ever. Made. But if you had anybody and you thought a little bit and you said in 20 years, I can only say I've had one. Only say. I'm not saying it's the unpardonable sin, because we know what the Bible teaches. Amen. That there's only one unpardonable sin. But I'm telling you, very few people ever get loose of that Jezebel spirit when it gets on them. Very few people that start using seduction for their immorality will ever get out of the depths of Satan that are there. I was in Rome visiting, there in Rome, and I stood beside the ruins there of the ancient Roman Empire, and the walls are still there. I mean, you can actually still see it more than 2,000 years later. And I had the archaeologist that we had paid for the guide, and the archaeologist was explaining something that I had read about, and saying, these over here, this was the houses of the Vestal Virgins that there were in Rome. Rome was not a godly place. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have a Bible that they lived by. It was a vile, corrupt society, but they still had a tremendous respect for what they called the Vestal Virgins. And this was all of their houses. I mean, it was like living in Beverly Hills. You were right there in the center of the happening place in town, right next to all of the temples that were there. And they showed it to me and explained some things about me that these young girls, they were chosen out of nobility, out of the noblest of the families in the kingdom. And they had to make the decision by age 10 that they were going to be one of the Vestal Virgins of that society that was there. I'm going to tell you, girls, you can't wait till you're 14 to decide whether you're going to be a virgin or not. It won't work. You got to decide that before your hormones decide it for you. You've got to make the decision at a very, very young age that's going to be what I am going to be in life. And at the age of 10, these young girls that were chosen out of the noble families that were there were taken to live a beautiful life. They were esteemed by everybody inside of the kingdom there. When they went to the Colosseum, all of the rest of the government officials had to sit on seats behind the emperor. But if you were one of the Vestal Virgins, you got to sit right next to the emperor. Everybody in society got to look and say, we're proud of those girls. We're proud of them. They are an example that in the midst of all the yuck and muck and filth and immorality that's going on in Roman society, we've got proof that there are girls that can make it up in their mind, that we're not going to live like that. We're not going to do that. We're going to preserve our bodies. We're going to keep it safe.
And those girls not only lived with the respect of all of society, but they were told that when the day comes that your term of service as a Vestal Virgin is done, then you can get married and you will get a lavish dowry that will be given to you, and everybody will honor your name until the day that die, everybody will respect you with the honor that is given there. But if one of those girls, they had great benefits, but they had consequences. If one of those girls, after deciding to be a Vestal Virgin, if one of those girls slipped around and got involved with a boyfriend of theirs, they took her and they strapped her to a funeral carriage. And they paraded her down Main Street, tied, crying, sobbing. She knew what was coming next. The whole city followed her out to the cemetery. And they took her. And they placed her inside the crypt. And they gave her a lamp. And they gave her one loaf of bread. And they buried her alive. And she died. Buried with the memory of the tragedy of going back on her virginity. That was the Roman Empire. And I tell you, the massive dowry that you will get, boys or girls, some unbelievable massive dowry that you will have in marriage if you keep your virginity, is your self-esteem. Your self-esteem. You'll have it for a lifetime. For a lifetime, you'll have something that others don't have. You'll have honor. You'll have respect. You'll have that self-esteem that said, I, amen, kept myself like I promised God that I would keep. But the consequences you're going to have, I'm not here to kick anybody over failures. We don't get self-righteous in this church. But I'm going to tell you, I hate to tell you, but I got to warn those that still have a chance of getting that dowry. Amen. The consequences, if you fail, is you're going to die 1,000 deaths every day of your marriage. You're going to die 1,000 deaths. You're going to wish again and again and again and again and again and again that you didn't give in to your flesh. Amen. Oh God, give us young men and young ladies, amen, that can say, we're not doing it for the honor of society, but we're doing it to honor our God. We're doing it to honor our God, the one who made me, the one who created me, the one who fashioned me. He's the one that I want to honor. I don't want to go to the depths of Satan. I don't want to go to those depths. I don't want to die 1,000 deaths wishing that I hadn't have done it. Beginning of the road to the depths of Satan. Seduction. In the hallways of the Colosseum. And I'll tell you just this one more story. The hallways of the Colosseum there. One of the 7 wonders of the world still standing. Massive, unbelievable Colosseum that is there. The hallways, they have displays and they have writings on them that describe about the various things that went on in the Colosseums from time to time. How lewd and how low that society got, and all of the things in the theater and how they would do. And I was amazed by one story that is there. And don't fault your pastor. I just am trying to help somebody tonight. They publicly describe about one particular one that became the wife of the emperor. But she didn't start off as the wife. She started off as a little slave girl that learned how to use the sex appeal of her body to get the attention of the men that were in the places that she was interested in going to. And I'm telling you, you can't sleep your way to the top. You can only sleep your way to the bottom. You hear this preacher tonight? You can't sleep your way to the top. You can only sleep your way to the bottom of the depths of Satan. Told about she was so proud of her figure that she had. As a young slave girl, I guess she had a lot of them looking. And how that she came and she would publicly there in front of the emperor, others, the senators, and others that would watch. She would go through various stages of undress, various things, and told about her final act that she would do. She would finally get completely naked. And there, she would lay down on the stage. And other slaves would come and would have in their hands the favorite little foods of white swans. And the white swans would come out on the stage. And the other slaves would begin to throw the food of the swans and aim them toward the private parts. The little naked teenage girl laying there. And all the men would watch as those little swans went to get the little food that was there. And the emperor, eaten up with seduction, fell for her. He said, "Pastor, how could you be so graphic? That ain't half as graphic as the romance novels some of you are reading every day." Every day of your life, you've got romance novels that are describing bedroom scenes, taking you deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper into the depths of Satan. All the way down. All the way down. And very few ever get out of the depths of Satan. When God got ready to destroy Jezebel, someone comes to the music. God said, "I'm going to tell you how sick that makes me when people start using their bodies for the seduction of others, for fornication, for adultery." He got ready to destroy Jezebel. And he said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do to that gal." He said, "The dogs are going to eat her flesh." said her carcass is going to be like dung spread out on the field. The chariot ran over her body and mutilated her body. They went inside and have lunch. And Jehu said, somebody go get her dead body so we can bury it and get her done with. And the Bible said when they went outside, the dogs were just finishing up. And all they found was a skull and hands and feet. That's how bad God hates. That's how bad God hates one of His creation using their bodies for sex appeal to seduce others to fornication and adultery. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. Let's come gather for prayer tonight. Let's come seek the face of God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Above all else, oh, God. The depths of Satan. Oh, God. The devil makes it out as appealing. The devil makes it out as no big deal. The devil makes it out as it's just natural. But God calls it the depths of Satan. He said, I'll let you repent if you're willing to repent. I'll let you repent if you're willing to repent. I'll save you if you'll turn from your sin. If you'll turn away. If you'll turn away from it. Oh, God. Oh, God, cleanse every heart here tonight. Purge every soul here tonight. Oh, God, save us from the depths of Satan. Save us from the depths of Satan. Oh, God, save us. Save us, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, want to have a clean heart, want to have a pure mind, want to have a pure spirit. I don't want the defilement, the dirty depths of Satan. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Jesus. Wash Victory Tabernacle, God. Cleanse Victory Tabernacle. Cleanse us, oh, God. Cleanse us, Lord. Jesus, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
the temple of the Holy Ghost. The temple for God to live in. The temple for God to inhabit. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Jesus. 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 Jesus.
That are from the age of five, if they feel comfortable to be away from mom and dad for a couple of minutes. 5 through 11. Amen. To come and stand up here with me. Amen. Just stand all across these steps that are here. Make room over on this side. There's some more room. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. All of them stand over there and make room. Hallelujah. You know what's standing before you? All of the reason we need to fight the Jezebel spirit and make sure that our children never have to go to the depths of Satan. Would you sing it again and pray for these children that are standing up here? Pray that we can keep a godly, clean spirit at Victory Tabernacle. A clean spirit. Sing it with me, kids. We want to be like Jesus. On earth I long. Would you sing it, children? To be like Him. All through life's journey. Oh God. Oh God. Keep it clean at Victory Tabernacle. Keep it pure in this house, God. Oh God. Oh, God, sing it once again for our children's sake, God. For those that have never known the depths of Satan. Oh, God, keep it clean, God, for their sake. Oh, God, I long to be like Him. Oh, come on, young people. These are the ones watching your example. These are the ones following in your footsteps. Would you make the path straight for them? I only ask, oh yes, to be. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord together. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's thank the Lord together. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. These are the greatest treasures a church could ever hope to have. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, kiddos. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight.